Welcome to the Troy Thompson Leadership Podcast. This is your host, Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you tuned in today. Listen, it is my greatest passion to empower leaders to create a more hopeful culture and to lead with passion and relevancy for their generation. I trust that today's podcast will encourage you, will equip you, and will empower you as you go out and create a vibrant culture that perpetuates hope and growth wherever you are. Let's tune in.
To proclaim any other thing than your praise. We declare your praise in our physical healing. We declare your praise in our peace. We declare your praise in every relationship. We declare your praise in Charlottesville. We declare your praise in Cleveland. We declare your praise in Lorraine. We declare your praise in Avon. We declare your praise in my marriage. We declare your praise in every situation and circumstance that opposes every promise paid by the sacrifice of the Savior. We declare your praise. We declare your praise in every conflict. We declare your praise in every disagreement. We declare your praise in prejudice. We declare your praise in hatred. We declare your praise in poverty. We declare your praise in lack. We declare your praise, God, in our lives today. Your word is our word. Your life is our life. We refuse to utter any other thing than your praise in our life. We thank you for the victory found in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We celebrate today and we give you praise in Jesus' name, and all of God's people declare. Amen, amen. Come on, lift your hand. We bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to church on the North Coast. I pray that was okay to do with you. I really felt in my spirit. Community, our homes, our marriages, our relationships need to receive more praise. Stop speaking our words. Start declaring His. It takes some restraint to declare His word in the middle of circumstances that oppose it. That's violence. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. It's easy when everything agrees with you. It's easy when you're healthy, when money's right, when people are friendly to you. It's easy then. But it's faith when it opposes that. It's faith then. And sometimes that takes restraint not to make your words sound like that situation. It's a violent act of faith in the middle of sickness to declare your praise will ever be on my lips. That confuses the devil. He doesn't know what to do. He said, wait a minute. You mean to tell me the doctor said that and you sang that? The doctor said that and then you have the audacity to sing that? You start singing about your praise long enough, before you know it, I woke up, I think it was Friday morning. I can't play the guitar to save my life, but I started strumming on a guitar and singing a song down there in Haiti. I would never do it here. I have a different measure of faith when I'm down there, you know what I mean? Witch doctors and voodoo and stuff, you know? Yeah. And so I'm telling you, I sang myself into joy. I sang myself into joy. People said, Troy, you're goofy today. I'm singing myself into joy because your praise will always be on my lips. I'm not going to talk like that. I'm not going to look like what that sounds like. I'm going to let His praise be on my lips. So it don't matter what the doctors say. Don't matter what you say. Don't matter what they say. His praise shall always be on my lips. Always. So I declare you healed of the Lord. You have the peace that surpasses all understanding. You got so much peace, it's falling out of your pockets. It's just everywhere you go, it's falling off. Amen. Amen. Welcome to Wycliffe. I'm so happy to be here. Like I said, I've been growing. I've been going like a freight train. So excuse me while I continue here, and then maybe I'll get some rest later tonight because I haven't been able to get much. You don't sleep much in Haiti. You know? It's like 1,000 degrees. The furnace of affliction. Fiery. Like breathing in a hot stove. It's hot, so. But it's good to be home. I felt God's presence the moment I drove up the driveway, sat down here. Nobody sits with me on the front row. That's kind of sad. I'll be honest with you. I'm just sit there all by myself. Somebody want to come sit up here with me? I mean, every once in a while, you know, y'all can sit over here. Somebody, if you like me, come sit with me. If you see me alone and you like me, just come sit with me. I'll bring somebody with me to sit with me if you won't sit with me. It's good to be. Yeah, I got the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost over there sitting with me. Good to have some brothers and sisters sit with me, though. That'd be awesome. So these seats are available. You can come sit. They're free, no charge. They're VIP. There's special section. There's anointings that sit there. Got your Bible. Go with me, too. Let's go to Luke 6:38. I'm going to receive the offering now. You know you can't fake faith, right? You can't fake it. You can't fake faith. What we got? Hey, DSM, if you're a student of DSM, they're gonna take you now, and you're gonna go somewhere, and it's gonna be anointed. So you're gonna want to stand. Raise your hand if you're a student. Any students in here? Moms and dads, poke your students and tell them. What age? Ages 12 to 18. There you go. You're released in the back. You have your Bible. Go with me to Luke 6:38, given it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You know you can't fake faith, because faith will mess with you. You'll pretend. Here's what I learned this week while I was in Haiti, because oftentimes I go there, and I'm always looking for the opportunity. There are going to be a lot of Haiti references today. Oftentimes, I go there, and while I'm there, I look for opportunities to manifest the miraculous. This is why I'm here. I just realized, all I have to do is look for it. Somebody told me this week in Haiti, I'm just trying to get to heaven. I said, well, that's good. I'm just trying to get heaven here so we can work together then. Because, you know, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. Church, you're going to heaven. All right? Can you just, you born again? Raise your hand. All right. Amen. You're going to heaven. You could put that one to bed. You could forget about going to heaven. You have a reserved seat in heaven. Bless the Lord. What has to happen, though, is heaven has to get to the earth. You're not going to need heaven when you get to heaven. We need heaven now. We need manifestations of it. So I go there looking for opportunities to manifest the miraculous. I purposely, intentionally walk around just saying, God, where's it at? It's almost, I'm looking for the pearl of great price. I'm digging in the fields, you know. I'm trying to find it. Where is it, God? I know it exists. I know it's here somewhere. God, just reveal it to me. Whisper in my ear. God, tell me which way to turn, left, right, straight. You know, is it in that field? Is it in that voodoo hut? Is it over there? Is it there in that store? Where is it, God? Manifest. And I'm telling you, I looked and I searched and I felt like I couldn't find any. I couldn't find any. And then sometimes the team, you know, this one time the team went, I stayed in this one spot and the team went to another spot and they found a blind man. I felt cheated by God. I said, God, why'd you have me stay here and spread peanut butter when I could have went over there and prayed for a blind man? And none of it made sense to me. I'm telling you, I got on the plane or, you know, on the ride back, I always do this, you know, evaluation, always evaluate your life. Evaluation, it means, does this work? Is this working? If we'd ask ourselves this question, we'd be more effective and successful in life. Is what I'm doing working? So God, is what happened this week? Did it work? What happened, God? I was evaluating. I said, God, it didn't appear as if anything happened. God, I just don't feel like this trip was a success in my humble opinion, God. And he says, Troy, the culture that you live in has created a false perception of what it means to live by faith. Because so often we look for instantaneous manifestation, when in reality, Troy, faith is found between sowing and manifesting. And if truth be told, this is what prevents a lot of us from sowing, from giving, whether it's a dollar, whether it's your time, whether it's your talent. But this is what creates frustration. This is what creates doubt, because you try to fake faith. You try to fake faith, and it will reveal your doubt. Maybe not right away, maybe not instantaneously, but over time, you try to fake it. And faith has a way of sifting us and revealing the genuine, you know, the genuine part of you. Because it'll get you, faith will put you in a corner and say, you know, did you really believe that? Did you really believe that? And so while I was there, I'll say, God, what do I do? He said, Troy, you sowed seeds. You were sowing towards a harvest. I put that. You were sowing towards a harvest. Now you just have to wait in faith. Amen. Then he started. He always talks to me in generations. He always talks about my kids and my children's children. He says, this trip was special. You are sowing seeds that you'll have to wait to see manifest. And it's going to take you more faith to live in the tension of your sowing and manifesting than it would ever would have for you to walk up on the ground in Haiti and command it to come out. He said, Troy, you have that. What you're immature in is the waiting. What you're immature in is saying, God, I will sow this seed even when I know it's not going to happen this week or next week. And nobody's going to see it, but my children's children's children. I'm going to sow this seed and trust you for four generations with the seeds I sow today. I'm going to sow this seed and trust you with my career. I'm going to sow this seed and trust you, you know, with every decision I make. These are so listen. So when you sow today, understand something. Don't sow with the perception or the mindset that we've grown accustomed to in the culture we live in today. We've grown accustomed to instantaneous manifestations. We go to the store, we get it now. We have Amazon Prime, where they'll deliver it in a hover plane over your home pretty soon. Seriously, you can guarantee shipping within like 6 hours for some merchandise. We go to McDonald's, we get impatient if the line is more than four cars. We go to the airport and we're impatient there. We call an Uber and we're impatient there, because we have grown accustomed to instantaneous manifestation. And how many know it's really easy to believe God when you pray and God answers right away. But it's really faith when you have to sow a seed one day and wait 7 years to see the reality of what you sowed manifest in your life. Whether that's your marriage, whether that's your children, whether that's your finances. But I believe today that it's time for us to start sowing seeds, living in the tension aggressively, watering that seed daily, believing it daily. So there's some seeds now. I made a note from that conversation. I said, God, I'm going to begin to sow seeds. And in the tension, I'm going to water that seed with your word. In between the moment I sow and the manifestation, I'm going to water that seed with your word. So, Lord, I declare the peace of God in that situation. I declare the love of God wraps you. I pray that they are swimming and drowning in a sea of your love. I declare it over that situation, God. And so I sow into, I just water that seed that I sowed. And I don't care how long it takes, I'm never going to let go of the seed that I knew I sowed in faith. I'll wait for the manifestation, but I'll live in victory by sowing and watering with the word. Amen. So as you give today, thank you. Thank you that you sow today and you receive. Maybe you don't receive it instantaneously, but we are people of great faith who violently live by faith. Amen. We live in the in-between violently. So let's pray for it. As you hold it up, we thank you for your faithful giving here at Church on the North Coast. This is how we preach the gospel, and it is the gospel that saves people's lives. So thank you for giving life to those who need it today. We bless this seed. We thank you for the opportunity to sow it, Lord, in this soil. We know that this soil is generational. We know that this soil is supernatural. We know that this soil is kingdom. And so we bless this seed as we sow it. According to your word, we give it to you. We thank you that it manifests, the kingdom wherever it goes. We thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 They're going to receive that. If you have your Bible, go with me to 1 Peter 1:23. The last time I was here, I shared the message of DNA with you. And as I shared that message, it comes from something very personal to me. That I believe that most of God's people are intimidated by their own DNA. I believe that most of us sitting here today are intimidated by the authentic version of yourself. It's more comfortable to live in the old version of yourself or somebody else's version of yourself than it is to live in the authentic version of yourself. So oftentimes I whisper to myself and to those closest to me, trust your DNA. Trust your DNA. You know, if you look over here at the Craker family, what you'll notice is they all look the same. You know, there's characteristics about them in their DNA that just go down. There's this similarity of them all. Is it hard being you? No. Jason, is it hard being you? Nah, you like being you. That's for sure. There's this genetic code that has come from John and Lisa that has been transferred into their children, and they carry the genetic code, the blueprints of their parents in them. But for so many of us, the genetic code and the blueprint of our father that has been deposited within us, it's difficult, challenging for us to trust this spiritual DNA. It's easier for us to rely upon who we were before we knew our Father. It's more comfortable. It's more convenient. The scriptures say in 1 Peter 1:23, for you've been born again. Now follow me, and then I'm gonna kind of do some catch up, and then we'll go to a new place. You've been born again. So when you were born with a certain set of DNA. Yeah? Right? Because Peter says you have been born again. Then look what he says. You've not been born of perishable seed. So that means that this seed over here of your mom and dad, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. As awesome as it is to be a Quaker, Peter says the Quaker DNA was made of perishable. I was wondering where you were. I'm like, there's another one. Where's she at? It's made of perishable seed. It's corrupt. It carries the sinful nature of father and mother with it. And even though they didn't want it to go to you, it came to you anyway. He says you were born this way of corruptible seed, meaning you have a sinful nature. It does stuff you didn't even know you wanted to do. I look at my son sometimes. He looks just like my dad. And he'll do things. And I'll say to him, where did you learn that? How did you learn to act like him like that? You didn't spend that much time with my father that you would act like that. Even in my daughter, she has this moment when she laughs. And I'm like, where did you get that? How did you pick that up? It didn't come from being around him because he wasn't around much. All right? But the nature of the DNA is into the code. The blueprint of my father is in my daughter, whether I like it or not. The corruption of my father is in my daughter, whether I like it or not. And Peter says, when you and I were born again, when you and I were born again, the genetic code of your father now resides on the inside of you. No longer of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. And just like the DNA, the code of my father who was speaking through my daughter, when that seed comes inside of you and you're born again by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that thing right there will manifest. It will try to manifest itself out of you. It will try to put you in positions that are impossible. It'll try to put you in circumstances that you don't like. It's uncomfortable. He'll put you around the disease-ridden, the poor. He'll put you around circumstances that oppose the very promises on the inside of your DNA. And your DNA, every inch of it, every last little tiny piece of it will be screaming at you to manifest the code, the blueprints of your father for the situation and circumstances you're living in. Just like it does in your children in the natural, so too it does in us who are born again of incorruptible seed. But most of us push it down. Push it to the side. Ignore it. Try because it is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward at times. You don't feel comfortable in this skin of yours. Huh? Because he'll put you around, you know, things that remind you of your mortality. He'll put you in a third world country with naked babies. And he'll let you know, you don't got enough money to fix this problem. You can't fix this with money. If money fixed this problem, all the wealth of the world that poured in during the earthquake would have fixed that problem. You don't have the sufficiency from your DNA, from your innovative mind to fix this problem. The only thing that can fix this problem, son, is the reliance upon your DNA found in me. Found in me. That's the only thing that's going to resolve the issue of poverty in the heart and mind of this nation. is the DNA of your father, Troy. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But you walk into a hospital, sick people everywhere. We're the epicenter of sickness. You know that? We got hospitals rising like evil memorials out of the landscape. Just testifying to the destructive works of the enemy. It ain't like we don't have opportunity to lay hands on the sick and let the DNA of our Father run wild. It exists. I mean, Cleveland Clinic stretches from one side of this place to the other side of this place. Probably a good percentage of the people in this room are employed by Cleveland Clinic. But you walk into a hospital and you feel the DNA of your father. By my stripes, they are healed. ICU units. And we sit quiet. Because really, we trust our old DNA more than our new DNA. Or we trust somebody else's DNA to do it better. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're anointed. They have better DNA than me. I seen them do it on TV. I heard them preach about it in a sermon. So let them do it. Let them do it. Even though my DNA is screaming at me to do it, let them do it. So DNA, Jesus said this in John 3:3. He answered and he said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of heaven. And he teaches us something. If you read through the context here, you pick up the context of the story, what you'll notice is that Nicodemus was a religious man. So that tells me that religion's not the answer. That tells me that church in the sense of what we've known it is not the answer. Because if it were, Nicodemus wouldn't have been corrected by Jesus. He said, you got to be born again. In essence, what he was saying is, Nicodemus, you've got to trust the DNA of your father in order to see these things happen. You want to see a manifestation of the kingdom in your life, you have to start relying upon, you have to trust the authentic version of yourself rather than the imitation, rather than the counterfeit. The old you has died. The new you has emerged, but it's easy to be a counterfeit, even though you're the real thing. He says to Jesus, Jesus says to him, you're not ever going to see it, Nicodemus, if you don't start trusting your born-again nature. If you're not born again, you won't ever see it manifest in your life. You will never see success the way you want it. You will never, your thirst will never be quenched in this world unless you begin to trust your DNA. Trust it. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. You might want to underline that. Don't walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. There's a life of God available to us all if we will emerge from the old man and become the new man. Having the understanding darkened, become alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of the heart, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Here you go. Verse 22. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created. You catch that? There was a new man created. There was a new you created the moment you received Christ into your life. A new man was created with new longings and new desires and new tendencies and new urges. Put them on, Paul here is saying. Put on the new man, which tells me it's a choice. If you have to put him on, it then becomes a choice. It was created according to your Father, God, it says, in true righteousness and holiness. Putting on means to invest in clothing. That's the Greek interpretation of that word. When Paul says, put on Christ, put on the new man, he's saying, if you're not putting on Christ, you're walking around naked. You have to put them on. And you have to invest in the clothing. You have to, it's as if God's saying, your old man, you're walking around exposed. Your old nature is exposing you. It's revealing the intent of your heart. Every time you leave the house without putting on the new man, you're exposing yourself. You're really bringing attention to the old you. And Paul says, put on the new you. Go invest in some new clothes. He's saying, dress yourself with your father's DNA. Because if you're not dressed in the DNA of your father, you're walking around indecent. We have to then choose to put on his promises. Because the old man isn't wearing them. So you have to choose to invest in putting on his promises. So if you choose to put on his promises, you then cover yourself with his promises. Every day you gotta choose to put on the new man. I cover myself in his promises. I declare that I shall become everything that he's made me to become. I put them on today. I intentionally pursue them. I put this thing on today and I wear it. I wear my father's promises. I walk into every boardroom. I walk into every classroom as if the very atmosphere was made for me. I put on the promises. No matter what the enemy declares, the old man would allow itself to be exposed and naked to sickness and disease. But I've put on the new man, which says, by his stripes I am healed. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I put on his promises. I have no lack, no insufficiency. I have no doubt. I've put on my father's promises. It's aggressive. It's a decision. You put on his acceptance. You have to put it on. You have to put on the acceptance of your father. Because the enemy, I see this happening so much. The enemy loves for us to walk around exposed with rejection. Rejection manifests itself quite often. It's hostile when we feel rejected. Anytime you've ever felt rejected, you can be certain you've probably... You probably didn't intentionally put on the new man that day. You left your clothes at home. You walked out of the house. You're walking around in offense and in rejection. And rejection is looking to defend itself. But the new man puts on the acceptance of the Father. The new man has a confidence. Has a confidence and acceptance of the Father. It says, I know who I am. You cannot intimidate me. You can't dissuade me from my Father's love. I'm assured of it. Whom shall separate me from my Father's love? Nothing, not peril, not destruction. Nothing will separate me from my Father's love. I am accepted by my Father. Therefore, your rejection of me doesn't cause me to react violently to to you. It doesn't cause me to respond to you and reciprocate to you rejection. My confidence in my God and my Father, I've put them on today so I can respond in love. I can respond with grace. I can respond as my Father would respond. I put on acceptance. You have to put on His love. Choose today. Choose today to put on the new you, which is love. You want to know why hatred exists? Because too many of us leave our houses in the morning. Too many of us get up in the morning and we're walking around naked and exposed. We have not put on love. So we walk out of the house. Last night I took my coat off. I was so tired. Again, I fly all day and I get to the airport and I said, Becca, call for an Uber. She calls for an Uber. Charged me $109. I took my coat off. I was like, dude, these people, I got to get up and drive to Wycliffe in the morning. I mean, I took it off fast. This guy yelled at Dominic last night. I was like, oh, Jesus, I was about to. Yell at my nephew, what's the matter with you? And then I took two steps and I heard the Father say, put your coat back on. You look ridiculous. I don't know if He talks to you like that, but He talks to me like that. Troy, you look ridiculous. You sound ridiculous. You're making a fool of yourself. Put your clothes on. Walking around naked. Walking around exposed. You're angry. That's not what you look like. That's not your new nature. Put your clothes on. I literally walked in one door like I was Superman. Came out the other door. So, okay, I'm better now. I put my clothes on. You have to choose to put on love. What's wrong today is we're leaving our house indecent. We're leaving our house exposed. Our old nature will respond and reciprocate hate. You smack me, I shank you. You come after me, I come after your family. Right? That's the old nature. The new nature says, I've put on love. You smack me, I give you the other side. You despitefully use me, I take your coat and I carry it with you for a mile. No two. No three. No four. Okay, I'll keep walking with you. I'll keep blessing you. You have to choose to put on your Father's love. You have to put your coat on every day. Put on your Father's DNA. You see, because the old man is comfortable. It's sinful. It's unreliable. The other man, it's counterfeit. It's cheap and it's unfulfilling. But the new man, it's very uncomfortable. It's risky. It's adventurous. But it is very fulfilling. Very fulfilling to walk in the new man's blueprint. Am I done? Man, that goes really fast. Two more things. Studies have shown that our minds have the ability to regenerate our DNA. Our minds have the ability. This is not spiritual. These are scientists that say this. Doctors and, you know, stuff like that. I can give you the research stuff. It says that your thoughts have the ability and the power to take apart your genetic code and put it back together to match your thoughts. Good or bad. So your thoughts then create your existence. Your thoughts create your existence. As a man thinks in his heart, if you can just believe, you can. If only you would believe. How many times have you heard that in the scriptures? If you would just believe, 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 just believe God, just believe God. What's he saying? If you just let your mind comprehend that God is trying to just think like this, just think like this. Don't think like that, God, Jesus would say. Just think like this. And if you'll start thinking like this, suddenly the genetic makeup in you will begin to manifest a new reality. You don't believe me. They say that our subconscious thoughts, the stuff when you think about it today, you forget about it, but you don't really forget about it. Every thought, the doctors say, the researchers say, every thought that passes through your mind is banked. It's filed away. It's filed away. And they suggest that your very every thought that gets filed away, that subconscious thought, it operates at quantum speed. That's not just, I'm not just saying that to make the story better. They say that your subconscious thoughts operate in another dimension. This is scientists and researchers say that when you think a thought, it gets banked away and it's operating and it's working on you in another time in space. I'll show you how this is real. You hear a song yesterday. You go through all 24 hours. 24 hours you go through life. The very next morning, the first thing out of your conscious mind when you wake up is, your praise will ever be on my lips. But you have not thought about that. You banked that away. And now it's been moving at quantum speed. It's been operating in another time and dimension, and it is creating a new reality of existence for you. So much so that it's changed your genetic code, made you wake up with, his praise shall ever be on my lips. You stored it away. You didn't realize it, but it was stored away, banked away, and then it was, while you were sleeping, while you weren't even conscious, that thought that you stored away now was working in another time and dimension and creating for you a new genetic makeup, and it made you wake up full of the joy of the Lord, full of the praise of the Lord. It has the potential. That means even when you're not paying attention, your thoughts are working for you. The Bible says, be renewed in your mind. You can be, it says, what happens? You can be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is a literal saying. He is suggesting to you and me that the reality of your existence can transform you if you would just pay attention to the thoughts that you are banking. And then he says in another scripture, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Make sure before you put it in the vault, make sure before you put it in the bank vault that it bows its knee before the Lord. Don't allow anything in the bank vault of your mind that does not first bow its knee before the Lord to make sure that it serves your purpose and your destiny. So that way when it's working at night while you're sleeping, it's working on your good. It's working on your behalf. It's working out a new reality, a new existence for you. It's creating a destiny and a future that's found in your Father. Come on, that's some powerful stuff. So think about it. How many thoughts go through unchecked? How many thoughts? Because I want you to know something. Those thoughts, they're working at quantum speed. They're manifesting. They're creating something for you. They're working on your genetic code. And your genetic code is screaming at you, telling you, do this, do that. Now, if every thought you allow into your mind is impure, if every thought you allow in your mind is full of sin, if every thought you allow in your mind is full of lies from the devil, is full of rejection, is full of hatred, if you allow those thoughts to come in in your mind. Just listen to me. Every one of those thoughts, not bowing their knee before the Lord and Savior, not first checking at the cross before they're allowed to be stored in your mind. If they don't do that, then that means they're working at quantum speed to destroy you. That means they're working to decay your DNA. They're creating worry. They're creating frustration. Huh? They're creating sickness and disease. But if you would take every one of those thoughts and say, you must first bow your knee before the throne room of Christ. Make sure every thought bows its knee to the obedience of Christ. Take them captive. Don't let them in, because it's creating the reality you'll live in. Only 5% of the people in this room will really live in success, however you define that. Only five. Five of 100 will live. That's what research shows. And all of it is premised upon your thoughts, what you think. If you think you can, you can. If you think you're defeated, you are. So what you should probably do is make a list. Make a list. Think on it every day. Make a list of God's promises. Make a list of how God loves you. Make a list. Write them down. Confess them every day. Declare them. Make sure that your conscious mind is storing away thoughts to think on while you're sleeping, while you're not paying attention, while you're eating, drinking, going here, going there. Make sure that your subconscious mind that's working at quantum speed is working out your greater good found in your Father. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand. I'll close with this. William Wang, he boards a plane. He's real successful. He's a billionaire. But the industry changed, and he didn't. He made computer screens. You know, the old ones, the big fat ones. They weigh about 75 to 100 pounds, you know. Remember those? They had the big backs on them, you know. But he made those. And early on in his career, he was innovative. And he made those. And suddenly the market turned, and he was losing. He was bleeding money. He couldn't figure out what to do. And so he boards a plane and he flies over to Tokyo and he meets with some investors. He's shaken. The company's losing money. He's shaken. He's afraid. Fear. Fear. Fear will make you desperate. Fear will make you act in ways that don't match your DNA. You'll behave contrary to your nature when you're afraid. He boards a plane, goes over there. He said, I'm going to meet with these investors, try to get there, see what they think. I got this other idea. I want to see what they think. He proposes his new idea to these investors. They look back at him and think, that's probably not going to work. We're not going to invest our money. He's defeated. He's defeated. He gets back on the plane. And as the plane is preparing to leave the runway, it's that scary time. Pay attention, because this is prophetic. There is this frightening moment when destiny attempts to lift itself. It's found on the runway. It's found on the runway. It's a moment where you decide, I'm going as fast as I can with all I know. I'm going to trust God. And if I don't lift, I don't lift. But I'm going after it anyway. If I run out of runway, I trust it. And there's that scary moment, right? You start going faster and faster and faster, and you start thinking in your mind, is there enough runway? Did we put too much cargo on this plane? Are we too heavy? Is something wrong? Is an engine broke? I think we should have lifted off the ground by now. You're about 90% down the runway, and you're thinking to yourself as you're looking out the window, we should be lifting by now. We should be lifting by now. We should be lifting by now. I don't know if you do that. I do that. I'm thinking, okay, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. There's that moment. He gets on a plane. And I feel like this is where 90% of us are in this room. You're on the plane. You've decided. You're going. It's frightening. But you have to commit to it. Gets 90% down the runway, just starts to lift some heavy equipment out in the field. Where he's sitting, tail end of the plane catches the heavy equipment, rips the plane in half. From behind him, from his row back, half of the plane gone. His half comes back down to the ground, skids off into to what was the remainder of the earth that was left. Eventually comes to a stop. He unbuckles himself from the plane, steps out without a cut or a scratch, walks off the plane, looks at half the plane that's engulfed in flames, looks at this half of the plane, and he makes a decision within himself. No longer will I be driven by fear. No longer will I allow my destiny to be put in the hands of anybody else. I just walked away from a plane crash. I just walked away from death itself. Whom shall I fear? Gets on another plane, flies back home, takes his idea, invests like $30,000, and today he is making billions upon billions of dollars, and he is the CEO of Vizio TV. And he is a good friend of a friend of mine in Avon. True story. And I have to ask you something today. If you were to walk away from a plane crash, just think with me. If you were to walk away, escape death, what would you do different? How would you handle your tomorrow? What would you do differently? Would you be afraid anymore? Is it going to take a plane crash? Is it going to take death to convince you that the DNA and the dream and the destiny of God inside of you it has to be fulfilled? What's it going to take in order to get you to operate according to the DNA of your Father? How much inspiration do you need to pump into your ears and into your spirit week after week after week before you one day realize the greatness of God is begging me to do something for him? The greatness of God is pulling at me. It's actually just trying to pull me out of despair, pull me out of frustration, pull me out. But all I can think about is this and that. And God's like, listen, you did die. You did die. So can I just tell you that? You died. Your old life buried, dead and gone. Welcome to your new life. Welcome to your new life. How will you approach it? In God. Come on, stand on your feet with me. Let's close in prayer. Come on, bow your head, your hearts with me. You see, fear and complacency and convenience, these are the forces that make us live cheaper versions of ourselves. Today, God is declaring, your old life has been dead and buried with Christ. Your new life now is found in Christ. How will you handle your new life? What decisions will you make tomorrow that are different from the decisions you made yesterday? Come on, awaken to righteousness today. Awaken to your destiny today. Father, we thank you that fear, complacency, and convenience and conformity are now bowing their knee before the throne room of heaven in our lives. We commit today to trust the DNA of our Father for every circumstance. hands. We declare today that our new mind, we will renew our mind and allow our hearts and our minds to be transformed. Create a new reality for everyone that's in here today. We declare, turn sickness into healing. We declare, turn chaos into cosmos. Take every circumstance that's at conflict with the promise now, and God, just turn it. Transform that situation in every one of their lives. We bless you. We thank you, God, for the uncomfortable moments of destiny that we all encounter. We thank you for the uncomfortable moments of risk, God, the adventure that's found only in living in the genuine versions of ourselves in the new man. We refuse to take the other man's DNA. We refuse to live in the old man's DNA. But God, we covenant to live in the DNA of our Father. And so, Lord, now, reveal greatness. Reveal greatness, God. Reveal it now. Come on with me. Think of it. Think of it. Store it away. Store it away in your mind now. Let your spirit operate at quantum speed to manifest it. We thank you, Lord. We bless you today. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, He loves you. Jesus loves you. He loves you so much, He died for you. He died to provide a new life for you, to give you the DNA that rises from death. He died so you could have new life. The Bible says it's simple. If you want to become a child of the living God, all you have to do is call upon the name of Jesus. Confess your sin, which is easy because we all have it. Lord, I confess my sin. I know that you are the only one who has enough sufficiency to pay the price for the sin of my life. I thank you for the righteousness that comes through you and only you, Jesus. And now, God, I covenant and promise to live for you all the days of my life. Speak to me when I wake up tomorrow. Make my life a new reality. Give me new hopes, new dreams, new joy, new future. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, God, for dying for us, dying for me. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Altar ministers are going to come now. We'd like to pray for you before you leave. If you have any concerns, any needs, anything at all, we want to pray for you and we want to agree with you with. If you've come today, you could turn that up a little bit, guys. Thank you back there. Turn that up a little bit. We want to pray for you. If you gave your heart to the Lord, we'd like to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, we'd like to pray for that as well. If you need a touch from the Holy Ghost, we'd like to pray for that as well. Live right, love everybody, pray hard.
This is Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you took the time to listen into the podcast today. If you like what you heard, you can go to the website cnclove.org for more. You are a culture creator. Go out today and create culture. Make the world a better place, a more hopeful place. It was a pleasure being with you.